So we're continuing with our sermon series looking at what does it mean to be the community of faith. And this week we're looking at being an encouraging community. And these verses, main verses from Hebrews today, will help us think about being the encouraging community. Hebrews is quite a remarkable letter. It's written to a group of first century Christians who were in danger of giving up their faith in Jesus. Most likely due to persecution, some had shrunk back from their earlier wholehearted commitment. And this letter of Hebrews is declaring, hold fast to your faith in Jesus and to each other. There is something here for us today. Being in the community of faith is important for helping shape our lives into Christ-likeness. William Barclay wrote this about Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews. But we can be thankful to God for the work of this great nameless writer who wrote with incomparable skill and beauty about the Jesus who is the way to reality and the way to God. I love that phrase, Jesus is the way to reality and the way to God. In Jesus, we are people growing in our life with God and growing our life together. That's only possible because in Jesus we have access to God, and we're reminded of what God has done for us in Jesus. We're encouraged to draw near once more. This passage that we read in Hebrews 10, it alludes to the structure of the tabernacle, of the temple. Access to God was once so restricted that in order to get to God, you had to be one man, a man, male, one man born of a certain heritage, rise to the top of your profession, hope on the one day that you could approach God, somebody hadn't left a sin unconfessed, or you were toast. In Exodus 25, God says to Moses, have them make me a sanctuary for me and I will dwell among them. The tabernacle was built. It had a gate that led to the tabernacle court. Inside there, the tabernacle were two spaces. The first was known as the holy place. The second space that was separated by a veil, and that was where God dwelled, and it was known as the Holy of Holies. Access to God was really restricted. The ordinary Israelite could only come to the gates of the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites might enter the court, the priest might enter the holy place, and the high priest might enter once a year on the Day of Atonement, the Holy of Holies. In our passage today, part of that once a year ritual is alluded to. The high priest would sprinkle blood over the mercy seat and would ceremonially wash himself during the ritual. And God's presence was only in one place in the Holy of Holies. God's presence rested above the mercy seats, which sat atop of the ark between two cherubim statues. Here was God's once a year, one person, one place presence found. Here you could draw near to God. If you want to just read a bit more about where God's presence rested in the Holy of Holies, you can look at Exodus 25 and Leviticus 16 and Numbers 7, towards the end of Numbers 7. But in Jesus, everything changes. God has drawn near to humanity. We can say that is most clearly seen in Jesus. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, Ephesians 2. It was always God's plan through Jesus that there would be a forever way opened up to the presence of God. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, Ephesians chapter 3. We see Jesus in Hebrews described as perfect priest and perfect sacrifice, a once and for all work for humanity that permanently and forever opens the way up to God. When we contrast Jesus' work with the tabernacle temple rituals and the priests of that time, we find this. We find that the priesthood of the old covenant is temporary, where Jesus is covenant, new covenant, is permanent. The Old Testament priests were kind of riddled with and beset with weaknesses, but Jesus was sinless. Priests offered blood, but Jesus offered himself. The sacrifices were partial cleansing, but Jesus purifies hearts and minds. Their sacrifices were a reminder of the seriousness of sin, but Jesus' offering means our sins are taken away. Constant repetition was needed, but Jesus' sacrifice offered at the cross was once and for all. So Jesus is the one who redeems and restores and saves us and cleanses us and liberates us and dedicates us to God and sanctifies and justifies and reconciles and sets us apart and creates newness in us and demonstrates as God incarnate the love of God that is powerful and strong, and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus is a complete once and for all work that allows all of humanity through Jesus to draw near to God, come near to the one who has come near to us, to the one God who is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this work of Jesus is worked out in our lives most authentically within the relational community of faith. Hebrews is a letter of encouragement to remind us of what Jesus has done. Be reminded today of that big picture stuff. James Bryan Smith says this: the community exists to shape and guide my soul. The community has a right to expect certain behaviour from me and can provide the encouragement and the accountability I need. I want to say that the encouragement that's alluded to in our verses today and the accountability can happen in three ways. Firstly, we are to remind each other of who we are. Secondly, we are to show each other what we can be. Thirdly, we are to have the courage to hold each other accountable. And we've begun to do that this morning. This is who we are because of who Jesus is. Don't stop meeting, verse 25. Don't stop meeting. We're meeting via Zoom, in lockdown, church without walls. Bonhoeffer wrote this: the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him or to her. He needs him again and again, and when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. We are a sanctified community made holy through Jesus Christ. We are set apart from the ways of the world. We are the faith community called out from the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city set on a hill. The community reminds us who we are. Our memory isn't that good. We forget. The world we live in tells us a different story. So we need this space, this time together, in order to tell the true story of who we are. The second thing, though, we are to encourage one another, and that also shows us who we are to become. The challenge of this is to tell each other to reflect our identity in Christ Jesus in our daily lives. It's no good for us reflecting the character of Christ only when we meet together. We are to encourage each other to live it out in the whole of our lives. This involves provoking each other to good deeds, or as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, urging, admonishing, helping, watching over. We are trying to get each other to reflect the glory of God that is already in us. We are built up when we plug into God. Sometimes we do need to plug in. I am, this beautiful hair of mine doesn't happen naturally. I have an electric shaver that does it and occasionally runs out of juice. And plugging it in allows it to recharge, and then it can do what it's meant to do, which is to make my head beautiful. Sometimes we need help plugging in. Encouragement or admonishment to plug back into the life of God through Jesus. Once we are recharged through the help of others, we can start to be all that the Spirit is leading us to be. Our verses from Hebrews are great. It offers this clear call to challenge one another to live for Jesus. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. The encouraging community is intentional. Let us consider how. We need to be the kind of people that encourage each other to be the people that Christ has called us to be. And this third thing, I think we do this encouraging thing through holding each other accountable. Perhaps we have to ask the question as a community of faith, are we brave and courageous enough to allow ourselves to be held accountable? Accountability is this wonderful art of both encouragement that leads us to Christ-likeness and admonishment which leads us to Christ-likeness. By admonishment, we're not talking about criticism, which is kind of unfairly given or being mean to each other and telling each other all the things that we're not doing right. By admonishment, we mean kind of helping each other get towards Christ, as well as through encouragement, helping each other get through towards Christ. Encouragement is working to tell someone who they are in Christ, provide the means for them to learn that, walk alongside them, strengthen them in the faith. And the New Testament is full of examples of that happening. That bit is easier to do until it comes to the point when we need to speak into each other's lives the harder stuff. Then quite often we become unwilling to speak, or sometimes even unwilling to listen. I've not met many people who love God with all their heart who, when they're trying to help others, challenge them, are doing it to cause hurt. Most Christians I know do it out of integrity and profound love. People I know in my life have occasionally told me, "Tim, you're not living for Jesus in the right way." And it hurts to hear it, but I'm so grateful they said it. It takes real courage to come alongside someone and say, "You know what, I know that God wants better for you than this particular behaviour or this particular way of being." We need other Jesus followers who are absolutely convinced that we are great and can do great things. We also need those folks to guide us and kind of pull us up back to our feet when we fail. Are we willing to open our lives up to each other? Because it comes with the expectation of encouragement, which we all like, and also admonishment, which sometimes makes us feel a bit uncomfortable. In 1 Thessalonians 5, there's these verbs: admonish, encourage, help, be patient. That's accountability. All of this in relationship is possible when we do it from a place of loving one another. We love God first and we love one another. I want to finish today by this, and this will finish us off. I want to finish by saying, are you mentoring? I think this is a really good word for us to embrace as a community of faith. What it means is simply this: training each other into the ways of Christ. Who is training you into the ways of Christ? And who are you training into the ways of Christ? As you know, I like American football, NFL, and the New York Jets. You might not know this, the New York Jets have just signed Frank Gore as their running back. Frank Gore is 37 years old, which in running back terms is near ancient. He's about a decade too old to be a running back. And the Jets coach wants him to come in to mentor the younger players, but he also wants Frank Gore to play the game first and mentor second. This is an important part. He is there as part of that team to be a full player. He can mentor the younger players better by being an active player. Are you mentoring? Play the game first and mentor second. Are you able to speak into a person's life and also have them speak back into yours? Are you teachable? You can't do encouragement authentically or accountability authentically unless you yourself are teachable. Who are we doing this with? You can't do it. You can do it with more than one person. We want to be an encouraging community because it reminds us who we are, who Christ is shaping us to be, and will help us move into releasing God's blessing and promise over our congregation. You might say, "Tim, how do I mentor someone? How do I walk alongside someone during the lockdown?" Well, through Zoom or picking up the phone, it's possible to do this. And that's the challenge to finish with. Get into a relationship like that with someone in this community of faith. Let's start making encouragement a foundational aspect of who we are. That way we can that can start to happen through mentorship, accountability, relationships, because that's how we get to be an encouraging community, or one of the ways. Okay, that's it for me. You might be over the moon to hear that's it from me. Let me stop the recording.